Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Today, we're looking at Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 11. So if you have your Bibles today, turn to Colossians chapter 3. Follow along as I begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time, when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." As we begin our study today in Colossians chapter 3, we're beginning in verse 5. Last time we looked at verses 1 through 4. And so as Paul gets to verse number 5 and he says, "Mortify therefore," the word "therefore" is pointing back to what we studied last time in verses 1 through 4. So a very quick review would be in order. Paul had written in verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." When we studied verses 1 through 4, we talked about the idea that when a person comes to Christ and trusts Christ as their personal Savior, they are actually identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We receive a new life. We are born again because of our relationship being reconciled to God through Christ. So Paul is talking about in chapter number 3 that we're identified with the resurrection of Christ. We're to set our affection on heavenly things, not on things of the earth. And one day we're even going to appear with Christ in glory. Going through a personal Bible study with some other believers, we're following along the recorded series that Dr. Robert Jeffress has on heaven. And as we listened to him just recently, he was introducing the series of messages that he has prepared on heaven. And he pointed out the fact that it's people who are focused on heaven that do more earthly good. You know, you've heard the phrase, "to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." Well, in fact, it's just the opposite. Christians who are focused on heaven, focused on what Christ is preparing for us, helps us to be better equipped to serve him on this earth. David Jeremiah, concerning these scriptures we're looking at, he said, "As we focus our minds on things above, our values will change." Paul becomes very practical as he shows us how these heavenly habits have earthly implications. Warren Wiersbe, he added this, "It is clear that the desires lead to deeds. Appetites lead to actions. If we would purify our actions, then we must first purify our minds and our hearts." And so this is what we're looking at in chapter number 3. Because of our relationship that Paul lays out for us in verses 1 through 4, we as believers in Christ now operate according to a new set of values. We have different priorities than we did before we became believers. And so in verse number 5, we see this shift, the Apostle Paul's teaching, and he uses the word mortify in verse 5. That word literally means to put to death. What are we to put to death then as believers? He says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And then he begins with a list of things that we're to put to death, literally to take to the shed behind the house and bury them. And the first thing that he lists is fornication. Fornication. Now, this is the translation of the Greek word porneia. It's just a general term dealing with illicit sexual intercourse in general. It's an umbrella term that deals with any sexual sin that is outside of the boundaries that the Bible prescribes, which is marriage. So he says, put to death fornication in your life. If we look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible there says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. And then we're in Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 4. The Bible says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. It's important to note that God is the one that created sex. Sex is a beautiful thing according to God's plan. What is God's plan? God's plan is for a man and a woman to have a relationship with each other that's unique to themselves, and that sexual relationship is to stay within the confines of marriage. And so for a Christian living in a culture that emphasizes sexual activity and emphasizes promiscuity, we are to be different. And those in our culture would say today, that's asking too much, but it's not asking too much. The devil is lying to us today. God expects us to live according to his word, according to his hedge of protection in our lives. Paul says, as a believer, put to death, mortify fornication. Then he says here in verse number 5, back in Colossians chapter 3, not only fornication, but he goes on, he uses the term uncleanness. Now, he's not talking about washing our hands. He's talking about uncleanness in a moral sense, the impurity of lustful, luxurious, profligate living. The Bible's talking about when it talks about uncleanness. There's a tendency today to do what David did when he got in sexual sin, and that was he was lingering around the palace when he should have been on the battlefield. And because of that uncleanness in a moral sense, the impurity that he allowed to creep into his heart, it led to his sin with Bathsheba. And then the next term that Paul uses, he says, put to death fornication, put to death uncleanness. And then he says, put to death inordinate affection. Inordinate affection. Wiersbe writes, inordinate affection describes a state of mind that excites sexual impurity. The person who cultivates this kind of appetite can always find opportunity to satisfy it. In other words, we need to guard what we bring before our eyes. We need to guard what we're watching on TV, what we're watching on the internet, and things of that nature, the kind of things that we bring into our minds, and then they find lodging in our hearts, and they ultimately lead to sin. This is the inordinate affection or passion that we're to be mindful of. Bury it. Get rid of those things that at one time defined our lives. The next thing he says here is put to death evil concupiscence. What it means is desire or craving, longing, desire for what is forbidden. It's lust. put to death lust. The Bible says over in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4 and verse number 8, Paul encourages believers in that scripture, "Finally, brethren," he writes, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." You see, as a believer, our value system has changed. We're no longer the person that we used to be, living for ourselves. Now I've given my life to Christ, and He's taken my life, and He's in the process of practically sanctifying me, physically speaking. I've already been set apart at the moment of my salvation, but He's working on how I live while I'm still down here on this earth, living in this decaying body. And so He says, put to death these things that were so important to you before you became a Christian. Mortify them: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, concupiscence, all of these things. And then He mentions one that's very, very tricky. And if you look back in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, He says, and covetousness, and then He describes it, which is idolatry. Now, the thing about covetousness, you don't always see it, because it really is an attitude. It's something that takes place in one's mind or in his heart, his seat of affections. David Jeremiah put it this way. He said, covetousness is an attitude, and it's an enemy to the sufficiency of Christ. When I covet something that somebody else has or what somebody else is able to do that I want to do, I'm telling God what He's given me is not enough. And I set up this thing I'm lusting after or I'm coveting after, and literally Paul says it becomes idolatry in our lives. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse number 11, listen as I read, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul says we need to replace covetousness with contentment. He goes on here in verse 12, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he writes, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I want to compare that to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and we'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. The Bible says there, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith," and there's that word again, content. Then finally, regarding contentment, in Hebrews chapter number 13, verses 5 and 6, the scriptures say, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So Paul is telling believers in Colossians chapter 3, there's some things in the Christian life that need to be killed. They need to be put to death. They need to be buried: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Then he says in verse 6, "For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them." As a Christian, When I accepted Christ as my Savior, Christ paid for my sin. He suffered the wrath of God for my sin. But my friend, if you're listening to my voice today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you, my friend, are facing the wrath of God. And even Christians that live carnal lives and fail to put these things to death in their lives will suffer the consequences of living a life that's displeasing unto God. This is not something that we want to be involved in. We want to stay far away from this. Put it to death in your life, Christian, because there is a judgment in those things that can wreck our Christian life and ruin our testimony. We need to be careful about those things. Why? God has given the believer a new value system to live by. When we look at verses 8 through 9 in Colossians chapter 3, not only has God given us new values, but God has given us new language. We're talking about those things that we say and how we say them. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds." So now he has moved from putting to death the things that we talked about in verses 5 through 7. Now he uses the term to put off. It's the idea of taking some tattered clothes and taking them off. Why? Because God has given us a robe of righteousness that we're to display. And that righteousness is not ours. It's the righteousness of Christ living through us. So put off the sins of your mouth. Why? Because in verse number 9, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, the old man is who we were before we got saved. The old man is who we were before God changed our lives and we were born again and given the Holy Spirit. That's the old man. And the old man, he was an angry man. He was a wrathful man, malice. He wanted to hurt others. Blasphemy, that can be directed towards God. But blasphemy can also be directed towards other people, trying to defame them with our words, filthy communication, taking parts of the body or the refuge of the body or anything of that nature and using it, making filthy communication. We need to be aware of those things. And then lying to one another. These are the things that the old man did. J. Vernon McGee said this, Paul says that we are to put off these old practices as you'd put off a dirty, filthy garment. You don't send it to the laundry, you throw it away. So there's some things here pointed out to us on how our relationship with Christ, in the first four verses of chapter 3, how it is lived out practically. There's some things in our lives that we have to mortify, we have to kill. There's some other things in our life that we need to put off. We need to take these things off just like an old filthy garment. And then not only do we have new values, not only has God given us a new language, but finally today, God has given the believer a new purpose. And this is found in verses 10 through 11. Let's look at verse 10 again in Colossians chapter 3. And have put on the new man. You see, when we take off the old man, like a tattered garment, he's not going to be rejuvenated. He's not going to be rehabilitated. No, he needs to go. Why? Because God has given us a new man. He's given us a new nature. And having put on the new man, which is renewed. Boy, if you underline words in your Bible, underline that word, renewed. God is renewing us. Listen, not just when we get saved. He's renewing us every day. As we are in the Word of God, as we are communicating with God, and He's communicating with us such as we are right now as we're studying His Word, He renews our minds in knowledge after the image of Him that created Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, When he came to this earth, God the Son took upon him the form of a servant. He came to earth as a man. You see, God is spirit. God is invisible. But when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, took upon himself a human body, man could see him. And if you saw Jesus, and you were on this earth when he walked this earth, and you saw Jesus, you saw God. And people today, when they see us, you know what they're supposed to see? They're supposed to see Jesus. What Jesus did for God the Father, you and I are to be reflections of Christ so that people can see Jesus through us. A new purpose, to be like Jesus. Randy Alcorn put it this way, people had only to look at Jesus to see what God is like. People today should only have to look at us to see what Jesus is like. I'm going to look over in Romans chapter 12. You're probably familiar with this portion of Scripture, but it's a good place to reference it in Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 through 2. Paul writes to the Roman believers, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why is it important to be studying Scripture? Why is it important to be engaged in prayer? Why is it important to read your devotions? Why is it important to worship God? Why is it important to attend a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church? Why are these things important? Because God uses them to conform us to the image of His Son through the renewing of our minds. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, as I turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, I want to look at verse number 16. Here the Bible says in verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ living within you, it's only the body that grows old. The man that the Lord Jesus Christ inhabits living within us renews us day by day. And though the body may be getting weak, and though the body may be decaying, and yet the man himself, the soul of man, is renewed day by day until one day, the Bible says, that Christian goes to sleep and he wakes up in the presence of the Lord. I tell you what, getting old is hard to do sometimes, but if you're a Christian, it's a different story. And then finally, in Colossians chapter 3, we look at verse number 11. Bible says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You see, when God gives us a new purpose, we're to be like Christ. And to be like Christ means that there's no division in Christ, because He is all and in all. What's that mean? Well, neither Greek nor Jew means racial barriers will be gone. Circumcised or uncircumcised, religious barriers will be gone. Well, barbarian or Scythian, cultural barriers will be gone. Bond or free, social barriers will be gone. Why? Because the Bible says Christ is all and in all. As brothers and sisters in Christ, it matters not where we live, whether we're male or female, what color our skin is. In Christ, we are all one. And to God be the glory.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.